What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, here we go again. How's the week been, Vic? It looks like it's been kind of hairy.
It is, it's not the opening I was expecting.
No.
It's, I'm having some hair issues today.
Yeah.
Anybody who's watching us, if you do want to check us out on YouTube, if you usually listen to our podcast.
Oh, it's worth a watch this week.
It's a bit poofy because it's really dry and I have no idea what I can do with it. I'm really at a loss. So, this is what it is.
It's okay.
I apologize to all of
you. You've had one heck of a week, right?
I have.
Yeah.
10 days.
10
actually.
Days. 10 days straight.
A 10-day stretch.
10-day stretch.
A lot of different work, a lot of radio work, a lot of news work, a lot of hockey work, all stuff I really enjoy doing,
yeah.
But it's been very long.
For what it's worth, I think you look great.
Thank you. I don't, but thank you very much.
At least one of us does. Pucks in 7, let's go. Brought to you by Sprott Money. We know every dollar counts, so we're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. They've been the go-to for investing in physical gold, silver, and platinum. Whether you're just starting out or have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. Use the promo code PUCKSIN7 for $10 off on your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca, that's SprottMoney.ca, or give them a call, 1-888-861-0775. We will have Sammy Silber, Capitals beat reporter, with the hockey news. She will join us later on to talk about the Capitals. Great start to the season, surprising one. And we'll go 77 seconds with Sammy as well. We'll go to the East in a second. Huge night in Tampa. I wonder who's coming back. Let me guess. And we'll go to the West in a second as well. But I'm glad you put this down on the lineup. Happy Sports Equinox Day to you.
And happy Sports Equinox Day
to you, Ryan. I don't think I've
ever
said that to
Ryan.
Anybody before.
We should exchange gifts next
we
time
should.
This happens.
Yeah, we should.
To celebrate it properly. It is one of those magical days on the sporting calendar where all four major leagues are in action. And it's obviously very rare because you need the overlap with baseball and basketball and hockey. But of course, we have Game 3 of the World Series, Yankee Stadium tonight.
Yanks in trouble.
Yanks are a little bit in trouble. Well, actually, I find myself... A quick aside, I find myself in the very uncomfortable position of rooting for the Yankees because I want a good World Series. That's the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason because it goes against my grain.
Fair enough.
Everything,
yeah, right?
Everything I stand for,
doing?
Root for the Yankees. but with the Dodgers up 2-0,
right.
I actually do want a root because the series has been phenomenal so
it
far
has.
And I want it to continue on as a neutral observer, sort of. Still, go Dodgers. And then, of course, there's Monday Night Football tonight. It's a stinker, Pittsburgh Giants, but they're still playing. Fun fact, another aside, we're going to get to hockey in a minute, but fun fact, or not so fun fact if you're a Giants fan, it is the 23rd game in the row that the Giants are underdogs.
Really?
And that's a record for the Super Bowl
era. I say so.
And it's horrible. It's a horrible record.
That's awful. You don't want to be associated with that record at all.
Not at all.
Wow.
So we got Monday Night Football, and of course, and the NBA's in action as well, but of course... The NHL is in action, and we've got some real, real banger games we're going to get to in a bit. But let's first start out. Okay, well, one of the teams that's participating
Hold on. One more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
This is the 31st Sports Equinox in history. So the first one was in 1971. But this one is a rare one today because this is the real first Sports Equinox in history.
How?
Well, we have the World Series, you said, right? Baseball,
mm-hmm.
NFL. NBA, mm-hmm. and the NHL, and Pucks and Seven. So it's the first sports. We're part of the Equinox, Vic.
I was actually thinking, is there like a NASCAR race or
something? No. Pucks there's seven Major League Soccer if you want to, but I'm just saying. Pucks and Seven along with the four major ones. What else do you need? Okay, right, let's go.
But it's going to be a very fun night. So one of the games both of you and I will be watching tonight for several different reasons. The Winnipeg Jets are now 8-0, and they're playing the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. We're going to get to the Leafs in our next segment, but let's talk about the Jets first. 8-0 is pretty magical. The record for a start to a season is 10-0. They're only a couple games away from that. During our last pod, we thought they had a shot and I think they have a better one now.
And guess who said that? The Maple Leafs.
Don't remember.
The Maple Leafs,
93-94. Oh, yep. I see. Okay, all right. I actually misunderstood what you said there. I said, guess who said that?
Oh,
but
right.
Anyways, guess who set the record? Yep. Right, the Maple Leafs have it last. But Why? Let's go through very quickly. Why are the Jets so good?
Okay, I'll be fast because they're good. Let's move on. We'll talk about No, I'm just kidding. There's nothing wrong with this team. They're having balanced scoring. Connor Hellebuck is being Vezina again in goal. Mark Scheifele is being kind of almost Art Ross, Hart Trophy-like up front. They're getting scoring from third and fourth lines. The penalty kill's great. The power play is good. The five-on-five play is fantastic. They have a ton of confidence. We talked about this last week, and I know really it has nothing to do with what happened at the end of last season, but to me it kind of does. Take away the five games against the Avalanche that they lost in the first round. They won 8 games to end the season the Jets did last year. I know it means nothing, but you take the 8, now you've got the 8, you've got 16. All of those 16 games, I know the playoffs were different, 24-5. That's awful, goals against average. But of the 16, I don't think they've given up 3, at least once, something like that. But I know this season, this is what they did last year, remember? They went in stretches where they gave up 1, 2, 3 would be a terrible night for Winnipeg. So whatever they've done, they haven't changed a thing. They've carried what they've had from last season. Again, put the playoffs aside to this season. There's no holes on this team, Vic. I can't find any. Can you find any?
No, not right now. Defensively, they are what they have been, which is the best in the league. And now you do have players like Cole Perfetti is just one of my favorites emerging this season
already.
You're so
high on him? Yeah.
I like him. I liked him from the start. Yeah. I liked him even before he started playing in the NHL. But he's really coming into his own, and you do have the heavy hitters, heavy hitting as well. And my big thing too, not only is their penalty kill so good, I think it's like 87%, which is great, but they're one of the least penalized teams.
They're playing disciplined.
They average a little more than 4 minutes in penalties earned every night. And that's an outstanding number as well. Yeah. So you're just not giving up the opportunities either.
No.
So let's see. So tonight, do they win? Do they beat the Leafs tonight?
It's funny. I was going to ask you this and we can maybe save it till later. Does Winnipeg lose first or does San Jose win first? Who do you think?
Oh boy.
Yeah. Okay. We'll save that for later. I will say this. I will say Winnipeg does lose tonight.
You do.
I do. Yeah, you obviously
I don't.
That was pretty easy to read.
I think they go 9-0.
Okay.
And as a Leaf supporter, I don't really want them to. Like, I take my professional hat off. But no, I think the Jets win tonight. You know who else is doing really well? And we weren't talking about this to start the season.
Yeah, we did.
Were we?
We did. I did. Because they're my Stanley Cup champion.
Not at the very launch.
I'm trying to pat myself on the back before the season began.
You're going to have plenty of opportunities to do this throughout the season because the Colorado Avalanche are the real deal.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, and now they're rolling again. I am just laughing at some of the numbers. Cale Makar hasn't failed to register a point in a single game this year. And he hasn't played 4 or 5. They've played a few now.
Right.
So the fact – and most games, he's a multi-point producer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's just incredible to me. They look like the Avalanche again. And now we're talking about – last pod we talked about Eustace Annan and how he was on the verge of becoming maybe a number one for this team. And now he's just won – what is it? 4 or 5 in a row? 4 in a row, I think.
Colorado, they lost 4 to begin with, and now they won 5 in a row. Mm-hmm. And they won 5 in a row for the 4th time in franchise history. You mentioned Makar, and how about this stat? Nate MacKinnon and Cale Makar, and there's a tie into this, which I'll say in a second. They joined Phil Esposito and Bobby Orr. Bruins, both 15 games played in 73-74. The second forward defenseman duo in history to go season-opening point streaks of at least 9 games. So you've got MacKinnon doing it up front. You've got Makar doing it on the back end. I was thinking this, and like, it's not going to happen. But it would be great, again, I don't think this will ever happen ever again, because it didn't happen very often as well when Bobby Orr did it. But Bobby Orr is the only defenseman that's won the Art Ross Trophy,
yeah.
And he did it twice, mm-hmm. 1-70, 1-75. It's not going to happen. But the fact is, Makar is up there in the conversation with the Rays.
Yeah.
They're playing well. You mentioned the goaltending, and goaltending is infectious. This is too talented of a team. Georgiev was awful. I don't want to blame the team in front of him, really, to be honest, because if it was, then the team wouldn't be playing as well in front of somebody else, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Georgiev needed to get his you-know-what in gear, and maybe this will get his you-know-what in gear, but Jared Bednar has been, hey, if you want to sit, you want to figure this out, that's fine. We're going to try to win some games, so I'm really happy with what I'm seeing.
We're going to see how he looks when he comes back, yeah. Because I believe he's actually playing tonight. We should mention it is Monday, right. October the 28th, Sports Equinox Day. And I think he's getting an opportunity tonight, so we'll see how he responds to having, you know, sat his bum on the bench for quite a few
games.
And
this is
now.
A big one. I'm not going to say it's a big one for the team, but it's a really big one for him and his confidence. Because if he can play a very good hockey game,
if he lays an egg, Ryan. Oh boy! Yeah. Oh
well,
boy!
Then there's
oh
your
boy!
Answer. There's your answer. Backup. Mm-hmm. Backup. Georgiev is going to be on the bench for Colorado. Edmonton's fine. Yeah, they're going to be fine, right?
Yeah,
no problem.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
What I liked about their last win was the fact that they were behind. Yep. And then they came back and Leon Draisaitl, I believe, scored in overtime. It was either at the end of the game. It was in overtime on his birthday. Yep. Happy birthday, Leon mm-hmm. Draisaitl. And the fact that they did, they fought back, didn't give up. They don't look defeated anymore like they did at the beginning of the season. They seem to be in gear. I still think that there's some quirks and bits and issues they need to figure out a little
yes.
bit, especially defensively.
Yes.
And they need to get rolling more offensively as well, especially with the talent that mm-hmm. they have there with Hyman mm-hmm. and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I'm even talking about the top two players in the
yeah.
team or in the league for that
right.
matter, but just the rest of them, they have to, but they are trending in the right direction. Now the goaltending is better
yeah.
and that mm-hmm. makes a huge difference. And like you always say, the team is now playing better in front
mm-hmm.
of the goaltender. So and I do like, I believe that their schedule coming up is pretty, and I know you get annoyed with this conversation.
I'm so glad you mentioned it like 10 minutes in, so we can just get
okay.
it out of the way.
But listen, they've got Columbus tonight.
Yes.
Okay. That's, Predators are up next, and then they have the Flames, and we're going to get to the Flames in a moment and what's going on there. But those are, that could be three wins, another three straight wins, or at least 2-1. Maybe the Preds are a tougher out because of how they're playing now, but in general, I think they are absolutely moving in the right direction. And we're going to have a different conversation about the oil in mid-November than we did in mid-October.
Oh, we will. 100% with that. And they're going to be just fine. Leon is
yeah.
doing Leon things, and he's going to be just fine. They're at 500, which for them is a really good thing at this moment. And I didn't think...
Compared to last year, yes.
3-9-1 to start in the 13 games. And
they were actually 2-9-1.
They were
2-9-1.
Man, I'm giving them one more win.
Season.
Shame on me.
Oh, they eventually became 3-9-1,
well, yeah,
but they were actually 2-9-1.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's terrible. So they weren't 3-8-1. That's what you're saying. They were 2-9-1
right, yes,
and then
3-9-1.
Yes, yes. Carry the one, have the two, do all that stuff.
There you
yeah,
go.
They're going to be absolutely fine. They're going to be fine. And once McDavid gets going, by the way, on that Leon Draisaitl, they beat Detroit. On the Draisaitl goal, they had the power play in
right.
overtime. And just as the power play expired, Edmonton got the puck back in. Or they dumped it in. Ekholm dumped it in. And then mm-hmm. McDavid got it over to
Ekholm.
He
was really good during that
oh,
game,
he was.
Actually, by the way. Sorry, Ekholm was
no,
excellent
fantastic.
In that
he
game.
Was excellent.
Oh, I'll give you that one.
Well,
okay.
You just led me right into it. It was like, swing at
that
this pitch
right.
and knock it out. Hey, Aaron Judge, do that for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You see the size of Leon Draisaitl's blade?
No, I
okay,
didn't
so
notice.
Go
is it extra big?
Well, after this, go back. I mean, there. Of course he would have deflected that. I mean, it's a heck of a pass. But look at the size of the guy's blade. It's crazy. It looks like a paddle. It looks like a canoe paddle. And that's the reason why he's good. He plays with a canoe. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, getting sidetracked. I don't know why. Speaking of birthdays, it was Leon's yesterday. Guess whose birthday it is
that's
today?
Right. No idea.
Jack Eichel in Vegas. Is doing
he's
well.
He's having a good year.
Yeah, great year.
I think he has a dozen assists so far. That top line, Barbashev, Eichel, Stone top line,
watch
is
out.
Absolutely rocking and rolling.
Yep.
I believe they're hosting. They're perfect at home, by the
6-0.
Way. 6-0. The Golden Knights are 6-0 mm-hmm. at home. They're hosting the Flames. If there's no such thing as a guaranteed win, of course. Now watch, the Flames will win 4-0. But I'm just saying in general, the Flames are floundering. And after a hot start, and Vegas is 6-0, that top line is just money, game in and game out. And they've got William Karlsson back now. Mm-hmm. They're getting good goaltending. They don't seem to miss Jonathan Marchessault nearly as much as some of us thought they might. So,
who?
No, Vegas is looking, yeah, I know. Vegas is looking very Vegas-like, but they always do. It doesn't seem to matter who they move out, who they bring in. And they do it in a very cold manner at times. But the fact that they just get business done. And you can't rule them out. We're talking about Winnipeg, Colorado, in the West.
No.
And are either one of us going to be surprised if they're one of the last two teams standing in June? No. We won't.
They've been that way from the opening night.
They're such business. They're just businessmen. Yeah.
No, I know. Jeez. This whole gambling thing, it's a business if you do it right, like Vegas. You mentioned Stone, Eichel, Barbashev. Combined, they have 44 points between the three. Combined, they're a plus 23, which you look at some of the other star players in the league, and he did this on the weekend when we did the show. Some of the star players aren't in that high plus, but all three of them do. Combined, they have 27 goals as well. 27 games playing combined, they have 14 goals still.
Okay,
I believe.
That's really good.
A goal a game. Fair to say they're the best line in hockey. I mean, there's
line, like complete unit.
There's Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere.
That's
pretty good.
That's the only other one I was okay. Maybe in the West.
Okay.
Can we say that they're the best line in the West right now? I'm comfortable with that.
Nashville. There are three teams that we've been waiting for to kind of get back to what we know they can do. Edmonton seems to be doing that. Colorado is doing that. And do we say Nashville is doing that? They've won three straight. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Like we are with Edmonton, like we are with Colorado.
We're not there yet, but we're moving in that direction. You and I spoke with Emma Lingen last week, and that night they were playing Boston, and I was the only one of the three of us who want to talk about tooting horns that said they were going to win that night.
I'm patting you on your back right now. There you go.
Thank you very much. And they did beat Boston, and they haven't lost since. Mm-hmm. So that was the start that they needed for certain, and Boston's not an easy out. So
no, they play
tough. Issue. Yeah. So it's a chemistry issue, and now the goaltending's good again. They're playing defensively sound hockey.
What's the common theme? What's the theme that we've said in this segment?
If you're going to say goaltending, I think it's more than that. I think it's defense.
Right, but I'm saying that we've said goaltending when we talked about the Avalanche, when we talked about Edmonton, and now that we've talked about Nashville, they're getting this. They're getting that, which makes sense. You think about that for a second. And I'll go back to what you just said about, defense. If you get good goaltending, you're getting better defense, essentially. Mm-hmm. If you're getting better defense, you're getting better goaltending. They go hand in hand. And then if that's taken care of, you've got the three people back there on any given minute and second of every single game, then the other three are doing what they do, and that's try to find the back of the net. So those three teams are doing exactly what we knew they would be doing, and that is getting everything going right for them.
So no coincidence then that UC Saros pitched a shutout against Boston and the team has played much better since.
No,
it's not a coincidence.
No.
Because they're not scoring up a
storm.
No,
no, no.
They're not. But defensively, they're much better.
And we'll get into, as well, a huge game tonight for one specific individual. Front and center, Steven Stamkos. We'll talk about that when we go into the East in a second. Are you okay? Because
we're going to talk about the
Flames.
Yeah,
because
now?
I see in there you said the Flames were fun while it lasted. I don't know. I mean, I've known Vic for a number of years, but I didn't know you were a bandwagoner. You're done? You're done?
I'm still rooting. I'm still rooting for them. I'm going to point out a rather disturbing pattern. Ready?
Okay.
5 games ago, they surrendered 1 goal to the Blackhawks.
Okay.
Then they surrendered 2 goals to the Kraken. Then they surrendered 3 goals
to
the Penguins.
Where you're going.
4 to the Hurricanes. And then finally, 5 to the Jets. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ryan Husk is not going to like that pattern.
No.
And tonight they're playing the Golden Knights. If they surrender 6 goals to the Golden Knights, that's going to be really eerie.
So people in Vegas bet that they'll surrender 6 then. I mean, if you want to follow patterns, right? It's all about patterns.
Oh, dear. It was fun to start. I don't think this is a woeful situation because this is more of what we expected from a rebuilding team in Calgary.
Yes.
Craig Conroy is putting this team together. Yeah. They got off to such a fiery start. It was so much fun. But now this is more what we're expecting. They have a really good goaltender in Dustin Wolf. Okay.
Yeah, they do.
He's going to be a number one.
They do.
He will be. And they have some other pieces, but this is half a team. When you look at the personnel on the ice,
I know.
There's a good percentage of them that would play in the AHL under a different set of circumstances.
No, I know.
Okay.
I know.
But it is too bad.
Despite the 5 games that you just said about the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yeah,
they're still 5-2-1. Goal.
That was because of the beginning.
I know. But if I just tuned in and listened to what you said, I would think, wow, this team is now, 1-5 or something, or 1-6.
Okay,
something
but
happened.
But flip it.
Yeah.
Flip it. If you had heard me say that, you would think they were 2-5-1,
yeah,
right?
Or 2-9-1.
It was a good. It was,
or 3-9-1. Or 2-9-1. I'm still trying to get that. That was good. Okay, last one before we head east. San Jose. I asked you this: is Winnipeg going to lose before San Jose is going to win, or vice versa? They may never win again. Sorry, they may never win a game. Forget again.
Okay.
They haven't won yet.
You want to hear my bold prediction? Here's my hot take.
Yes.
I hate that expression, by the way, but everybody uses it. Here's my sizzling hot take.
Terrible. Go ahead.
San Jose wins tonight, Monday, October the 28th, against Utah.
Utah's struggling.
I think they win tonight.
Utah's struggling.
That's why I think they're going to take advantage
of
it.
All right.
So, and also just, it's a numbers game. they're better than their winless record. They're not much better.
Whoa,
their winless record.
San Jose is better. Let me throw this at you then.
They still have players who score and such. Granlund.
Who's worse? The 23-24 edition or what we've seen in the 24-25?
I don't know yet. I never would have thought that I would have said that they could be worse than they were last year. And I still don't think, down to player personnel, they are. On paper, I think they are a better team. But man, oh man, they need to win.
If they did not have Macklin Celebrini, I guarantee you wouldn't be saying that.
Maybe.
You would not be saying that.
Maybe.
Nobody would be saying that.
Maybe.
You lose to the Blues, lose to the Ducks, Dallas, Chicago, Winnipeg, 8-3, 4-1, Colorado, 3-1 again to the Ducks. You lose to the Kings, you get blown out by Vegas, 7-3. Got Utah tonight.
It's just interesting to me because they did actually make some changes. They're not the same team as they were last year.
They're terrible.
They're not good.
Okay. They have no bite.
On that note.
They have no bite.
No bite at all.
From west to east. Don't forget, Sammy Silber will join us too. We'll talk Capitals and go into 77 seconds with her as well. We'll talk about this big night to come tonight in Tampa. The return of a number 91, Steven Stamkos, and other topics from the Eastern Conference. Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matyash, brought to you as always by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matyash.
And we're brought to you by Sprott Money, Canada's precious metals dealer since 2008, the leading precious metals dealer. Whether you're just beginning or have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. Silver is currently one of the most affordable ways for new investors to begin building a precious metals portfolio. Use the promo code PUCKSIN7, $10 off your first purchase. Visit sprottmoney.ca. That's S-P-R-O-T-T money.ca for more. We went west. Sammy Silber will join us. We'll talk Capitals and go 77 seconds with Sammy in just a bit. But let's go to the Eastern Conference. And every Tampa Bay Lightning fan, Steven Stamkos included, and the family and friends, had this circled on their calendar when the schedule came out. That was Nashville going to Tampa, and Stammer is back in Tampa tonight, Vic.
It is going to be incredibly emotional. It is going to be incredibly long, because the tribute is not going to be zippity-zip.
Oh, no.
No chance. It's must watch for me. It's on my schedule for tonight with everything that's going on.
Let me ask
you this. I'm probably going to watch a good deal.
You know, some players come back. It seems like even if you're on the fourth line, players come back and they have some video tribute. But Stamkos is going to come back. He'll get the ovation, TV timeout, whatever it is. And what I think Nashville will do, and I hope they do, is let him go out and skate the lap, just skate by himself for a little bit and let all the fans out there. Usually they do that for rookies. My question to you is, every time he touches the puck, There's going to be a cheer. Is that going to last the entire 60 minutes?
I don't think so. Because, the Lightning still want to win the hockey game.
It would be neat if it did.
Right?
I know it wouldn't happen.
I think it's going to be a very special night. I still think watch would be completely wrong. I think the first period is going to feel different than the second and the third.
Sure.
I think the second and the third is going to feel a little bit more back to business. Yeah. But however it rolls out, he's going to be treated very well. I think there's going to be a lot of tears in the stands. Mm-hmm. I think people are going to be incredibly emotional. I think he's going to be emotional. I wonder how he's going to play, because that's a tough situation, right?
It's going to get
because
a hat-trick.
He's going to be choked up. Do you think?
No.
Do you wonder?
No.
I do wonder, actually. Does it go one direction or does it go another, right? Is he just overwhelmed? He's a pretty cerebral player, so I wonder if he's just going to buckle down. I do think the first period's going to be a bit of a mess, and then second and third again,
regular hockey. He went out, from what I gather, to dinner last night with some members of the Lightning and the training staff, about 10 or so. They had dinner with Stamkos. Mm-hmm. Ryan McDonagh said it was really good to catch up. We spent a few hours catching up. So this is one of those games where, I know Tampa wants to win. And yes, Nashville wants to win, but it's about Stamkos. And I remember when all the rumors were coming out, and it was when we were in Vegas for the draft, about the offer that Brisebois gave to Stamkos and his camp. A very underwhelming, quite
underwhelming
insulting offer, to be honest with you. And when I heard that, I thought, okay, well, it's gone. And we didn't discuss, Stamkos didn't, there was no contract signed, obviously, with Tampa throughout the season and even toward the end. So I thought, this is just not ending well. And I'm really surprised, Vic, that it ended the way it did. And I know he's happy, he's fine, he got his contract, he's in Nashville. But I didn't think that it was going to be, I didn't think it was going to end like that. And I don't know the intricate details about it, but obviously for reasons moving forward, Julien Brisebois and company did not want him back. And I find that hard to believe.
It's still bizarre to me. I was blown away at the time. I thought he was going to re-sign, because that's what happened the first time.
Yes.
There were all the rumors, oh, he's coming to Toronto, and it came down to free agency, and then he just signed a massive deal with Tampa.
Right.
And I thought we were going to be in for that again. Not for the same amount of money, because he's not the same player anymore. He is getting older like the rest of us. So I knew it was going to be lesser. But still, it's still one of the transactions that I have a hard time getting my head around. And even to this day, I've watched a bunch of Predators games so far, and even now, watching him come out in that sweater is still a little jarring to me.
Well,
I'm still getting
what's the most jarring about it is that it's yellow. I have a real I have a real issue with the yellow jerseys.
I know you do. I don't know why.
I do. And you know the Panthers one? I don't know if you have one of these, but you know the Panthers.
Shush.
Speaking of, see the segue? Looks like Alexander Barkov is going to be back. First time in a bunch of games. Paul Maurice said after that, high ankle sprain. I was thinking about this when just before we came on and did this, and I was going over in my mind the play that he made that he hurt himself. And we talked about this after it happened, how much more serious it could have been. Because again, boards cover the NHL.
It didn't look
great. It looked awful.
It didn't look great.
But the fact he was busting his you-know-what, trying to get back, and preventing an empty net goal shows me the heart and the character of that guy. But it's going to be a big boost. Doesn't matter if the Panthers were 9-0, 8-0, whatever it is, like the Jets. The fact is, Barkov is one of the engines of that train.
He is. He is the number one engine of that team. Now, I will say this. They're 6-3-1, largely without
him. Which is great.
They won games. And Sam Bennett has been fantastic. Lundell has been fantastic. Yeah. Other players have pitched in his absence. So that speaks to the quality of this Florida Panthers team. When your very best player, at least outside of the net, and I'd still say your very best player, is missing and you're still winning hockey games, there's no hangover here from the Stanley Cup. There isn't. Maybe there will be one in January or February or March when the season wears on and they start to feel it a little bit more, but they still look pretty solid. I know that the Atlantic is a very strange division right now. We'll get to that in a sec. But I am very happy that Barkov is coming back from them. And I'm very happy that he's going to be fit for the Global Series in Finland. Mm. He's Finnish. He's a Finnish superstar.
Oh, yeah.
And you know a lot of people over there are going to appreciate watching, I think, Finland's best player right now, not historically, but right now, seeing him on the ice over there is going to be a big treat for the Finnish hockey fans. And if he were to miss that, I think it would be too
no,
bad.
No, I agree. And look on Dallas's team, Miro Heiskanen, Roope Hintz, right. Esa Lindell. Anytime they get to go back, we saw what the Leafs did when Nylander went back and he was in Sweden. It's just it's a really neat thing. It's and if this was for Barkov, let's just say this was his last game that he was ever going to play. I know it's not, but it would be one.
Not by a long shot.
But it would be one great way to finish.
Oh, boy. I knew it was going somewhere, and I didn't think.
We mentioned Nylander, and let's go to Toronto. Now, again, we go back and forth about what we should put on the lineup, and you put it. So I'm not going to show you my chicken scratch, but here's page two of it, which is nicely typed out, and Vic does an amazing job with that. But you have it here, and I saw that. I don't know if I said this to you. Ryan thinks the Leafs stink.
Yeah.
I do?
Let's discuss.
Okay, go.
Yeah, I think you actually said that those exact words on the weekend to me in that order. This Maple Leafs team stinks.
Oh,
I think
did
said
I?
That exactly.
Oh, you know what? I can actually look, but I think I okay, I get it. All right.
You texted me on the weekend that exact phrase. So why do you think they stink? I don't think they stink. Why do you think they
maybe
stink?
It's because they played one good game.
Which one? The Lightning game? You don't think they were good against Montreal or the Rangers?
I think they were good against Montreal.
Okay.
I think they were, but they were great against Tampa. But since then, where's it
been? They were excellent against
Since then,
Tampa.
Where's it been? It's
well, Columbus is bad.
St. Louis wasn't much better, Vic. St. Louis wasn't much better. Boston is Boston. They just, I mean, whatever curse is going on in that town for Toronto. The thing with the Leafs, it seems to me they're pushing. Craig Berube's even said it on the power play. I mean, put third and fourth line guys out. Do it. That
they need to mix
something,
it up.
Something has to change. There's no way.
They need to mix it up.
And I'm tired of everyone saying, oh, you know, you put Nylander on the line, you put Marner and Matthews, and then Riley in the back end and Tavares say, oh, it's such an expensive, I got an eye twitch, it's such an expensive line. Doesn't matter about the money. Just put the puck in the net.
I don't necessarily think it's an issue of personnel. I think the right players are out there. I think it's the system. I think they need to change what they're doing. Whatever they're doing right now on the power play, first of all, it looks exactly the same all the time.
Yeah.
So to repeatedly do the same thing over and over and over again without getting the results, right? That isn't that the definition of insanity?
Yes, it is.
So mix it up. Try something else. And you have the time to do it. You know, they had a day off yesterday. They're skating today. It's not like they're in back-to-backs here, whatever. I know Winnipeg is going to be very tough, very, very, very tough, but you have to try something else. Now, I think we talked about Winnipeg earlier and they don't take a lot of penalties, so it might not even be an issue in this game. Maybe they get a couple of power plays. That's the average that the Jets are giving up, but you have to try something a little bit different. I am not concerned about the Toronto Maple Leafs. They look so good in some games this season. Yeah. It's only been the last couple. I thought Boston was okay. They hung in there and that was a really bad first period.
Yeah.
I thought Boston was okay, but this is a good hockey team. The same conversation we have that we have about the Oilers. When you look at the team, you know they're going to just end up being all right.
Yeah.
So, and you and I live in a hysterical sports town.
We
so
do.
I sometimes think that we absorb a little bit of that.
I think what I was getting at was that they stunk the last two games. Not the Boston, but certainly the St. Louis and the
Columbus
were
horrible, and St. Louis wasn't
terrible.
Great. No, you're right.
Jake McCabe re-signed with Toronto. I think this is awesome. I'm going to say this, that I think he supplanted Morgan Riley as their top defenseman.
They're two very different players, though.
I just look at the way he skates. I look at the physicality. I look at the way he moves the puck. He's doing everything that Morgan Riley does and has done, but I think it's at a different level this season. And Riley's not on the first power play unit a lot of the time either.
I think he is going to be again, though. I think they're mixing. That's one of the things that they're going to mix up. It looks like they are taking that direction, and I think that's a pretty good idea. I'm not with you on that. I think Riley is a superior defenseman, but I like the deal. I think it's a little long. I think 5 years. So we should say, what is it, like 4.5?
4.51, yeah, to be exact.
Okay, so 4.5.
But here's the thing.
AAV.
And you break it down, because if you look at this too, the way the cap is going to go up, in the first year it's 6, the second it's 5.5, third it's 4.8, yes, then 3.6, then 3.6. So it goes down, more top-heavy kind, but the average is 4.51, yeah.
The average is 4.5. So I like the number. I think the Leafs would have preferred to sign him for 3 or 4 just because of where he is in his career. Right. But they probably would have had to pay more money if it was going to be 3 or 4. So I think it's a very reasonable contract. I think it's going to be, if he continues to play at a reasonably high level, it's going to be a bargain in 4 or 5 years if he can sustain that. But that is a little bit of an if. He's not 22, right? So that is a little bit of a concern.
What are your thoughts on the Alexis Lafreniere contract? It's not like it came out yesterday, but it came out recently.
I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing for the Rangers. First of all, that is a team-friendly deal.
Oh, okay,
he 100%. He took a little less money because he really wants to play in New York. And by the way, I think that's great. If I was a hockey player and I had the personality to enjoy the Big Apple, that's where you want to be. You're playing half the games at MSG. That's magical, man. So if he's willing just to take a little less, and by the way, he's still making really, really good
coin. 7.45.
For over 7 years. It's good for him. I mean, it's basically coming off one really good year. And he's off to a great start now. Would he have the same numbers if he was playing on a different line than not with Artemi Panarin and Vinny Trocheck? Absolutely no way in heck. Right. He would not have the same numbers. I think he also recognizes that he is benefiting from having two incredible line mates. But also, he's raised his game as well. So the number, that's why it's not 8 or 9 or something like that. Even though you could argue maybe he would eventually deserve that. This is another one. So team friendly, I think, in 5, 6, 7 years, because he is young. He is young. Yeah. And he's going to peak during this deal. And I think that's great for the Rangers and for him.
I've been, and you know this, last year specifically, I was on him thinking, oh, you know, I feel...
You've been on him for a while.
I feel badly for a number one pick. I know he has a ton of talent. I'd love to see him play well. And I didn't think he was a good fit, or I didn't think the Rangers were a good fit for him. But yeah, he had a great season last year, and he's playing on a great line. The cap situation with them, I looked at the math, and in 25-26, the Rangers, as of now, have a cap hit of about 66.5, something like that. They have 12 players under contract. That's it. So they have to obviously get Shesterkin done, Keandre Miller done, Kaapo Kakko done as well.
Yeah.
And Miller, they're discussing terms of all that. And I think Lafreniere was good to get in the books first because, and maybe Miller's going to get in the books as well after this, because then you can really go after Shesterkin and what Chris Drury is going to do. So I like the deal. I just hope he continues to play well, because sometimes we see with these new deals, which is a very good one, you know, a lot of pressure comes with that, even more so than being a number one pick. Anyway, we'll see.
I think he's going to be all right with it, because it isn't silly money.
I do too. I absolutely
It's a good salary, but it's not silly for what he's accomplished so far. Let me ask you this really quickly on this. The fact that he took what we both agree is a team-friendly deal because he wants to play in New York and he wants to win a Stanley Cup with the Rangers, does that influence negotiations with Shesterkin at all? Hey, this other guy, look at what he's doing. He could have maybe got 8.5 somewhere, but look, he wants to stay here. So, buddy, sign your $11 million deal.
Okay, so you're just Chris Drury. You just played him, and I'm playing Igor. Not a chance. Give me 12.5 or 12. That's it. He's not. He's not budging, because he would have budged already. He's not budging. He will make at least 12.
Okay.
I don't agree with
it. I'm still saying 11 and a quarter.
I don't agree with it.
But Ottinger's only making a little bit over 8. Like, how can he's not that much better?
Go through the...
Jonathan Quick wins games for them. He's not the game changer.
Have you gone through the tax situation between Dallas and New York?
No! Okay, so
if you do,
yes,
the amount
yes,
of money
yes,
Shesterkin's going to...
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, the point is,
all
I'm
right.
with you. You don't have to convince me. Shesterkin is not worth that. If Ottinger did this and Swayman did that, forget Swayman. If Ottinger did and he signed that, he's not worth that. But the Rangers are going to give him that. Anyway, what about Buffalo? Besides Atlantic being weird, Speaking of
the Atlantic is weird.
Speaking of Buffalo, I did this specifically for you because you love Tage Thompson, right?
Very much.
So he just hit the other day or night the hardest shot during a game. Did you hear this? 104.69 miles an hour. He just eclipsed the record, which was set last week, 103.77. So he had a shot of almost 105 miles an hour. Anyway, how about Buffalo? Just wanted to throw that out there for you.
Do you have... I should have prepped you for this. I don't... Do you know what Sheldon Soirée's numbers were like? Because he was the last classic
shot
guy.
Shot-wise or speed-wise?
Shot-wise. No, yeah, because he hurt people. And I was just thinking right now, I hope... He did. He has. He's not on purpose.
I know.
Well, not on super purpose.
No.
But
accidentally
Tage
on
is,
purpose.
Yeah, accidentally on purpose. Tage Thompson, that's the shot you don't want to get your body in front of.
No.
I understand that shot blocking is a part of the game. But there's some that maybe you just give a miss. Make sure your goalie has a really clear, good
he's
view.
He's got more pads on than I do. Yeah.
A lot more pads on. It's he's playing well again. Yeah. He is producing like we saw him produce 2 years ago. And I know he was hurt last year, but to see Tage Thompson at his best again, and guess what? Buffalo Sabres are now winning some
hockey. Three in a row.
Again, not a coincidence. When he's going, everybody else is going and everybody feels better on the ice, including the goaltending, including the defense, which is still a very young core, okay, with Owen Power and even Sandin and the rest of them. So it's nice to see. It's nice to see Buffalo play some competitive hockey. And they're in that position. Nobody is really running away with
this
in the Atlantic.
No one knows what, no one's saying, you know what, first place is a good thing. Let's try to distance ourselves from everybody else.
The Panthers to a degree, but they're not running away with it.
No, there's only one team in that Atlantic that is a plus in the plus minus, and that's Tampa, a plus seven. Florida's at zero. Ottawa's at zero. Everybody else is a minus.
Isn't that
wild? That's bizarre. Mm-hmm. That's bizarre. Anyway. Metro, Rangers a plus 18, just to throw it out. Winnipeg plus 20, Dallas plus 12,
plus
Vegas 20. Plus 14.
Plus 20.
Very odd.
My goodness.
Mentioned the Rangers. What about the Carolina Hurricanes? They won three in a row, 5-2-0 in the campaign through seven games, 10 points. Right now they sit third in that Metro. And basically on this, and we'll talk to Sammy Silber in a bit too, we'll get her take on the Capitals. But the Devils, Rangers, and Canes, for the most part, I think those were the 1-2-3 teams. Maybe not in that order, but those would be the three teams in the top three by the,
those are my three
by
teams.
The time Metro was done.
I just wanted to point out, we don't have to do a deep dive on the Hurricanes. I just wanted to point out that people were really down on them to start this
season,
almost across the board.
Absolutely.
Any show I was listening to, people had them as a non-playoff team, that they just, the changes they made in the offseason, losing who they lost. I mean, okay. But the fact that they've come out, and listen to this, they are 4 points behind the New Jersey Devils, who are in first place, and they have played five fewer games.
So that's
five.
10 more points than that they have to bank that the Devils don't have. Yeah.
So let's just not call it over for the Carolina Hurricanes quite yet. They are quietly winning. They're still not garnering the attention they deserve. And let's see where it goes from here. They've only played seven hockey games.
Their power play on their road trip, 6-for-18, which is very good.
Outstanding.
Caroline's penalty kill was terrific, 17-for-18. And so they rank both inside the top 10 in power play at 26.1 and PK. So they're 7th and 8th respectively.
There you have it. Good goaltending, too.
When's Mike Sullivan getting canned?
I don't think he is. Do you think he is?
I do. Yeah. I look at this situation as it's the thing you have to do. I'm not speaking for anybody on the team. The team's been terrible. The team is awful. They're not doing well. I said on the weekend, and you like this comment, when so many guys on the team have rust outside of Brian. But right. Mike Sullivan, I think the voice is, it's done. It's time for a change behind the bench. It's time for a new voice. You're not going to go anywhere, Sid and Gino and Chris and Eric. I know Tristan Jarry's been terrible. He went down for a conditioning stint.
He's
but
been really
I just, I think it's one of those situations, and it stinks. It does. But coaches, sometimes you just need that change behind the bench. And if they do make a change, whoever comes in, if they do turn it around, then we'll say, hey, we told you so. But I don't see him finishing the season in Pittsburgh, Vic.
If they do get rid of him, it will be for the reasons you just outlined. The fact that it's just been the same guy for a while. And sometimes change for the sake of change, which I'm not necessarily a big fan of, still gets the job done. We saw that with the Oilers. Exactly that we saw with the Oilers. And we've seen it with other teams that you're not necessarily moving out a bad coach, but you need to do something and you can't fire all the players, right? So maybe that is a case. I'm still looking at it. They could put, they could put Scottie Bowman in his prime behind that bench right now. And you look at, you have Anthony Beauvillier playing in the top
six.
Yeah,
no, I know.
Okay, you're relying on guys like Drew
O'Connor. You then
they're okay hockey players.
Are you looking more of the blame, if we want to put it, to upper management, Kyle Dubas, etc.?
Dubas? I don't think he's been there long enough to take too much of the blame. I think this has been a long time coming, right? Yep. But when you have a team that is basically without Sidney Crosby, they're probably the worst team in the league. Okay? They are.
I'd say San Jose still.
They're the second worst team in the league. Okay?
You're still high on San Jose. I love it.
I'm not high on San Jose. I'm just not as low on them as you are. I know their defense. You look at the names on that defense and you don't understand quite, except for the fact that they all are getting
older. Yeah, they're 120, the average age. Yeah.
This is an old hockey team with a superstar on it. And they're just, again, the personnel, you look at the names on the piece of paper.
No, I know.
And how do you expect them to win more hockey games than not?
No, I agree with you with that. And I'm a huge fan. I know you are as well. And so many people are, of Sidney Crosby, signs that new deal and all that type of thing. You want to see him try again just to get another shot at maybe getting a Stanley Cup. It's not happening.
Did you watch that Oilers game the other night?
I saw some of it. Well, I saw
goodness.
A recap. I know. Malkin's got 14 points. That's fine. Outside of that, Sid has 7. He has 1 goal. Carlson, 1 goal. I could go on, but I don't need to. Malkin only has 3. So anyway, I think Sully, I really do. I think that he's got to go. And I think they need to do something sooner than later, only because you don't want to lose a lot more of the season. We're almost done October.
I'll throw this at you. Is there anybody else who gets fired first in the league right now?
I don't think so, because of the different situations. I mean, the easy thing could be San Jose, but no. I mean, no one's expecting them to do anything anyway. I don't see that. Torts isn't going anywhere in Philly. I'm trying to think of the teams that are struggling.
Buffalo maybe before, but now that they're winning. Yeah.
I think Sullivan has the target on his back. I do. I don't want to think that, because I hate seeing that with coaches, but it's part of the business of sports. Okay.
It's very much the part of the business.
No,
you're hired to be fired in that game. So.
No, I know. Washington playing extraordinarily well to begin the season. Sammy Silber will join us next, Caps beat writer for the Hockey News. And we'll go 77 seconds with Sammy as well. We continue Pucks and 7. Ryan Payne, Victoria Maniash, brought to you by Spratman.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Maniash.
We are brought to you by Sprott Money. I always say this, well, for the most part, when we do these programs, the first two segments are a lot of fun. But the third segment is really a lot of fun, because we have a guest. And this is going to be great. Sammy Silber joining us, Caps beat reporter, the Hockey News, and proud, I think this is even higher up on the resume, proud captain of the DC Ghost Pirates, as we talk Capitals and go 77 seconds with Sammy as well. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Are you nervous about the 77 seconds thing or no?
I'm pumped. I'm nervous.
All the emotions.
Yeah. My dog's looking at me like, what? Like, she doesn't, I don't know. She'll probably try to like photobomb it.
That is fine.
Be most welcome.
We've had a bunch of dogs on here already, and they've made the show. tons to get into with you. Let's begin with the Capitals. Vic and I have talked about this already. And how surprised are you at the start of this season?
Honestly, I think this is going to sound weird, but I think a lot of critics are surprised, but I'm not surprised, because when they retooled this offseason, after watching them last year, I looked at the team on paper and I was like, this is a really, really strong team on paper. And this is a team that's so much better than last year's team, just from the goaltending to the defense to the, you know, forward line. Like, every addition they needed to make, they hit.
Right.
The season opener is a little rocky, and I felt like you really couldn't read into it because, what, every other team had already played, like, four games, and the Caps, you know, hadn't even played yet. And then, you know, after that, it was just smooth sailing, you know, the defense getting involved offensively. They're able to score, which was something that wasn't easy last season. Right. Yeah, and this season, the biggest thing about that, too, is, like, one or two goals against isn't, like, a dagger anymore. That used to be like the kiss of death in a Caps game. And now it's not, which is huge for, you know, I'm sure huge for Charlie Lindgren, Logan Thompson, huge for the defense, and huge for, you know, Ovi and the guys up front as well. So I'm not surprised. I think a lot of critics are surprised who are like, they'll be like, you know, maybe a fringe team, but I'm not surprised to see them doing well. They look a lot.
I read your recent column for the Hockey News, the 17, I call it 17 Thoughts.
Yeah, sure.
That's essentially what it is. But it's seven. You make 17 points about the Capitals. Okay. Yeah. And I gather that you're a big fan of the deal that brought Pierre-Luc Dubois to the team. Mm-hmm. So what is he providing to this team that is helping them succeed this season like they didn't last year? What's he doing?
Yeah, it was a good deal. It was one that I felt they needed to make, not just to give Kemper the change in scenery, but you also have Backstrom gone and Kuznetsov gone, and you need a top six center. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Fine. Dog completely agrees.
He's like, get out of here. No. And, you know, when Dubois came in, you know, he was a guy who has a lot to prove. But what he's bringing, there's so much that he brings. It's, you can see the effort that he's putting in every single shift. And the biggest thing, if you go around the Caps room and you ask them, you know, the biggest thing about Pierre-Luc Dubois is that he's a great person. That's the biggest thing. And that's such an important point because, you know, critics and, you know, fans who, you know, don't really know anything except, you know, rumors they hear on the surface. You know, we all know the critiques that surrounded Pierre-Luc Dubois and Winnipeg and all that. And
right.
It's just you don't know the situation, you know, and that's not the case. The locker room absolutely loves him. On the ice, though, I mean, he's a force. He's getting into it. He's aggressive on the forecheck. He can carry the puck, which is huge. If he has to, you know, hold the line or get across or get the puck in, he can do it. And he works great with Wilson and McMichael up on that second line. So there's so much from the speed, the skating, the size. He's a big guy, too. Yeah. I didn't realize how big he was. So much that he brings to the table.
I was going to ask you about that. He's 6'4", not on skate, so I assume it's maybe 6'6", possibly. But anyone who can bring who can use their size like that to the way that we know that he can, because sometimes you see big players in the league and they're not as quick or they can't stick handle as well. Maybe this is even years ago you would see more of that, because nowadays everyone's so in tune with their bodies and they just are in great shape. But to me, if he's able to use the size to that advantage, to be physical, just as good as being talented. I mean, I've always been a fan of his too, like you, Sammy. I've been a big fan, and I wanted to see these results, and I really hope they'll continue for him.
Consistently. We wanted to see consistency from him, right?
Yeah. And I think that's what you've seen to start the season. I mean,
so far.
Has it shown up on the score sheet every single night? No, but it doesn't necessarily have to show up on the score sheet to be a good game. That's a big lesson I've learned as a player, but as a writer too, is, you know, he's starting plays and you might not be the second to last to touch the puck, but if you got that play started, you got that play started. That's a huge step. So I'm seeing consistency and I'm seeing a guy who's well-liked in DC so far.
That's great.
Yeah.
What's going on with Tom Wilson? Why is he why is he playing his best hockey? Because Tom Wilson is a player that has driven me crazy for years. When he doesn't do the dumb stuff, right?
Yeah.
When he doesn't get himself into unnecessary trouble, he is a heck of a hockey player. And that's what we're seeing from him to start this season. I do really like that second line that you just mentioned as well. But now he's producing. He's effective and he's not getting his team into trouble. What's the difference, do you think, now from what we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I think Willie has just grown a lot as a person. That's okay. First and foremost, you know, he's not a young spring chicken anymore. He's a veteran, but he's, you know, also somebody who's more of a leader now. And he knows that there's a lot of responsibility that hangs on his shoulders as somebody who's going to take up the captaincy one day. And that means cleaning up your act, but also mm-hmm. contributing in every single way possible. And he's another player who is a big guy who can use his size. And you also saw, I mean, the ACL tear. I mean, that's a big injury to come
Huge.
Back from.
Yeah.
And when you come back from that really quick, not that he came back too quick, he took mm-hmm. the time to recover, but when you come back from that quickly and you're thrown into the middle of a season, and then it's like your first summer back after a big injury right. training, and yep. then that sets you up for kind of a strange first year, full year back. This year, you can see, like, he's really in the best shape he's been in. He's okay. finally used to it. He's adapted with the injury. That's a big part of it, I think, is he's gotten over that hump of, okay, how do I adapt and move on from this? But the leadership and the, you know, his hockey IQ, too. I mean, he gets to the right spots. He knows where to go. He knows where to battle. You know, he's not just chasing blindly after the puck. He knows, right. you know, if I go here, I'm going to have my best chance to score. So it's growth on the ice, but also off the ice, just as a person, he's gone from, you know, a controversial guy to someone who's going to wear the C one day. So
I like this version a lot better. I hope he keeps this up because yeah. he's a really, really good player.
He's great.
Like, yeah. Really good.
He's a great player. Oh, yeah.
He's one of the ones in the league that you, and I think there's a few of them that you hate to play against, but you love to have on your team. And especially mm-hmm. as Vic was saying, when he's with it on the ice, when he doesn't do anything silly and he lets his game do the talking, not anything else of those stupid plays. Spencer Carberry. So what, tell us a bit about him. I think that he's, and I know it's a weird thing to say because I don't know any of these coaches, but hey, he's a great fit for Washington. I think he's a really good fit for the Capitals, to be honest. You're a lot closer to them than we are, of course, but tell us a bit about him, not just kind of the impact already that he's had in the short time, but the type of person that he is.
Yeah, he's the biggest thing I think of when I think of Spencer Carberry is contagious. His energy is just contagious. I mean, yeah. That guy loves hockey. Like he loves hockey. He loves the game. He knows the game, and his passion and his energy for the game, not just for the game, but playing it the right way.
Right.
Doing things the right way, doing things by the book, trying new things, playing with speed and pace. That's the biggest thing he's brought from the table. And the players buy into that. Like, there is no player in that locker room that's not buying into his system. Everybody is all in.
That's key.
and that's huge. I mean, that's especially like coaching is such an interesting thing because sometimes in the NHL, mm-hmm. you'll see the same coaches rotate through the league.
Recycle. Yep. Years.
And he's still, you know, a newer guy. But the fact that like he's already made it seem like he's been here for years with how much respect he has and how he goes about his business and how he, you know, pushes players to be their best, especially young players like,
right.
you know, Alexei Protas, and you see Connor McMichael thriving under mm-hmm. him. Like, that's huge to have a guy like that for young players who, you know, he's worked in Hershey. He played in South Carolina. He, you know, he knows how to run a power play. He knows how to get the best out of young players. Just having him around with his personality and his energy and his zest and his knowledge for the game, it's really cool to see as a writer because it's just, it makes the rink such a fun place to be. You know?
For sure. Yeah.
When you see a coach who's so when like skating alongside their players, right. like that's huge. You know what I mean? Like you're not just standing there and blowing a whistle.
Yeah.
Like he's like getting in there, you know? And he's like, if somebody does something, he's like, well, instead of doing this, why don't you try doing this? Like it's huge to have a guy that's so into the details.
So he's really hands-on, really hands-on.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this team needs as it heads in a newer direction.
Right. It looks like it's a very good fit, especially now, but it definitely feels like a very good fit. Capitals have played really well. One flaw recently that's been noticeable.
Why do you have to be negative? We've been going so well, and now she does this all the time.
Because we have Sammy, and I want to ask her, what's wrong with the Capitals' power play, and how do they fix it?
Hmm.
That's a tough question.
Yeah. That's why I'm asking you.
We were talking to Carberry about it this morning. Honestly, it comes down to so many different aspects. There's so much talent. And the struggle is that they can't seem to get clean entries right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And even when they do get a clean entry, they can't maintain possession. They can't sustain that pressure, and then they can't recover the puck. So then it gets cleared down the ice.
Yeah.
And then they start all the way up. And then they get cleared down the ice again.
Okay.
And then they start back up. It's this endless cycle of like what there needs to be some kind of like something's got to give. And
right.
Sorry. And so this morning they were playing around with some new personnel.
Okay.
They're trying to see if there's new spaces, you know, something that can fit new plays maybe. And, you know, Kirk Muller has been running that power play, but Mitch Love is also helping out with it too. So I think when you also have a coach that comes in for the first year and he's,
right,
you know, diving, not that Mitch Love hasn't been here, but that Mitch Love running the power play is new. So having two minds work at it and still getting into the systems and still getting used to new players too. You're seven games in, but it's, you know, you still got to get used to how Dubois fits in, and there's so many left shots, and, you know, how does Ovi play in? So we'll see how it goes. It needs a makeover, though, I think is the biggest thing, because you need somebody who can get those clean entries, who can dig after those loose pucks and make sure to, you know, keep it in the zone.
We could use this for the 77 seconds part, but I won't. What do you think, or what are your thoughts on the whole slingshot thing about the entries? Sammy, it drives me crazy. It doesn't need to. I don't know why it does. It doesn't affect me at all. But I just look at this and think, you talked about entries, and I was thinking, you know, I know it's sometimes it's harder to get into the zone sometimes because the league is where it's at and the talent level is through the roof. I get it. It's not as easy as it looks. But do you like the whole slingshot thing that they do?
Honestly, it's
no.
when I was growing up, because I was a Caps fan growing up.
Okay,
it would drive me bonkers. I would be like, "What? Like, why are we going back? You know back. What I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why
you're supposed to go this way?
Like, why are we not like carrying it forward? Like, what is going on?" And then I started playing hockey, and then I was like, "You know what? I kind of understand.
Okay.
I kind of get it because what it does is it gives you the second to restart your entry and also just like take a breather and be like, okay, what's our plan here? And it also lets you defer to the strongest puck carrier.
Okay.
Like you'll see like Ovechkin, Ovechkin's a great puck carrier, but like if you want somebody to like really charge into an entry these days, John Carlson, Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Right.
Like those are your guys who are going to get your entry. So when you see them backtrack and then you have that one player arcing to come up and carry, that's usually what it is. And it's become routine around the NHL. I see so many teams who have started to do it, and it drives you crazy. But when you're on the ice, like, because the game goes so fast.
Different perspective.
You're like, I need a hot second. Like, let's chill. Let's regroup. Like, let's go back. And, you know, but I will say, like, it did drive me bonkers and still drives me bonkers, you know, especially when you're in like the last 10 seconds and the goalie's like slamming the stick on the ice and you're still slingshotting. Yeah. I'm like, you know, are we going to go up here? But yeah, so it's a fine line. Like, I understand it more, but yeah, it drove me a little crazy.
Okay. We can still be friends. We're good. Carry on.
Cool. I won't unfollow you. Not yet.
Do you want to do the 77 seconds?
Yeah, I think we're at that point. So
all right, let's go.
So Sammy, this is the deal. Seven questions, 77 total seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So quick answers, obviously, right?
I'll be quick.
That's the name of the game. Ryan, you get us going.
All right, here we go. We haven't mentioned him at all, and you're probably thinking, how can I talk about the Caps and not talk about the grade eight? When does Ovechkin catch Gretzky?
I'll say the second half of next season.
Second half.
Does Tom Wilson score 30 goals this year?
Yes.
Who wins the Stanley Cup?
Minnesota.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
That's a great answer.
That's fantastic.
That I like that one.
I'll be bold.
That is bold, but I like it. They're sneaky good. Your favorite player interview of all time?
Ooh. Charlie Lindgren.
Oh, always, yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Always, okay. Always why? A good conversation.
Yeah.
He's just funny. And he's like cool and he loves dogs. Yeah. He has a mustache.
Yeah.
He's cool. Yeah.
How fast do you type?
107 words a minute.
I think that's ridiculous. Yeah. I found that on Twitter, so we had to throw that in there. I'm about 20 words a minute, so I'm absolutely amazing. Impressed. That yeah. is incredible. 107 yeah. words per minute. That must help a lot, eh, when things are really moving?
It does. On the trade deadline day and free right. agency,
oh, for sure.
It's a tool. It annoys yeah. people, though. It pisses people off at coffee shops. But
because you're just going at it.
Yeah, it's
loud.
Good for you.
I've broken keyboards, keyboard after keyboard.
Really?
I can imagine. But yeah. Good for you. Has Koozie the Pup ever met Koozie the Player?
No.
Oh, too bad.
They've heard of each other, though. And the rescue told me Koozie was a boy, and that's why I named her Koozie. And then before I rescued her, they told me it was a girl. Okay. And I didn't feel like buying a new name tag, so it's still
okay. Koozie works for a girl just fine.
Yeah, it does. Step one is hearing about them. Did the Division D4 Ghost Pirates beat the HK Rookies in Rockville last night?
No, they did not. Oh. And I was in goal. And I
was going to say, how did the goalie play?
It was good. I let in 7, but I saved more shots than you know I expected to. So.
Because you're usually a left winger, we should point
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I'm usually okay. a left winger.
Right.
So what? How come you were in goal? Just they needed somebody?
Our full-time goalie, shout out to Kevin Barteco. He writes for us sometimes. He is a police officer full-time, and he had work at 4 in the morning and was like, I'm not playing at 10. I'm like, I don't blame you.
That is Got fair. It.
Good for you. That's yeah. awesome. Last one. How often do you play hockey?
Twice a week.
Twice
once
a week.
In goal, once a week, and once for the Ghost Pirates.
Very cool.
Amazing. Sammy, this has been a lot of fun. Hopefully we can do this again, and you survived the 77 season. It wasn't that bad.
It's not bad at all.
It's not. I was much shorter, I felt like. So that was good.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.